Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and it is the first Friday of November. Kind of feels like the year is coming to, a neat end, you know, if we can call 2020 neat in any way. And it's been quite a busy week in the economy, some data points coming out, but also one of the big things happening at the moment is, the US election. So we are just going to be discussing what some of these issues might mean for the local economy, and joining us on the line to unpack these issues, we're joined by Peter Bau, who is a professor at the University of Johannesburg School of Economics. Peter, greetings to you. And what do you make of the U.S. election this week? I think everywhere you turn, it's been the big talking point, you know, of the week. But as South Africa, is this something that is really going to affect us all the way on the southern tip of Africa?
Yes, absolutely. Good day. Thank you for inviting me to your show today. The elections are very exciting. Very exciting times for all of us. We see very narrow margins right now between Biden and Trump. We're all very interested in seeing if the Republicans or the Democrats are actually going to come through. And it's going to be remarkable differences in both cases into how it's going to impact us into the future. So the outcome of this election is going to have a big impact on the local economy and on Africa in general, I believe.
And I guess in what type of ways? Because I'm thinking there may be some currency issues, you know, to think about as well. And South Africa has tended to be an economy that is susceptible to what happens in the rest of the world.
Yes, very much so. So basically what has happened this year is COVID has created new rules in terms of the way in which the economy actually works. And the reason for these new rules that are established by COVID is because of the impact that COVID has had on the global economy. And as such, it's impacted literally right across the world on different levels, from economic growth right through to job creation, economic currencies, and of course, the importance of different regions in the world. Just to highlight it, what we are also experiencing as well is that due to the current policies, etc., we've obviously got the African Growth Organization Agreement between, let's say, the United States and South Africa. And this is approximately going to expire at about 2025. So over the next 4 years, we're going to see trade rules between South Africa and United States actually changing. Another very big impact that we're looking at is that at the beginning of 2021, we're going to see the African Free Trade Agreement, or the African Continent Free Trade Agreement, actually taking off, and that will most likely benefit us. But now, why the COVID actually impacts us so much right now is because of the actual growth between all our major trade partners. And three big trade partners are going to be the United States, European Union, and China. And this is now where the elections are going to really impact us. If we take a look at the relationship between Donald Trump, or shall we say the Republicans, and China, they've had very harsh sort of attacks on China and trade policies. So the relationship between China and America has been impacted greatly by Donald Trump and the way in which he's strategized that. The Democrats are a lot more, shall we say, blanket approach towards the relationship between China and America. Now, the way that's going to affect us is if the Republicans come into power, what's going to happen is it's going to, what we'll see is we need China's growth, and China is the fastest growing economy in the Far East, and we really, really rely on them for growth. But what we may possibly see is that with the Republicans coming, if the Republicans were to stay in power, they may actually be negative, a little bit more negative towards us, or shall we say, not be as favorable towards us as they were in the past because of the relationships that they're trying to, harm or the relationships that they're trying to reduce between China and the United States. So that is our one problem. If the Democrats come in and they're not as harsh, then the relationships between South Africa and even the African continent and China will be less strained for us. If I may continue, it's another big challenge that we have is that with COVID, we've seen a very, very strong sort of drop off in terms of economic activity within the United States. And them being a very big trade partner for us, we export a large amount of steel and aluminium, for example, to America. And that has actually, even if it's a drop off of approximately 1.6%, we've noticed that that's impacted on unemployment and problems of unemployment in South Africa too. So and then of course the next big relationship is the relationship between America, obviously European Union, and how they position themselves between China and America. And so the impact of the Democrats versus Republicans on the European Union is also then going to impact us trading, and obviously it's going to impact our growth, it's going to impact our job creation, etc. from there.
You know, as you're talking, one of the things that I am thinking about is, because you brought out this issue of COVID and then you're also juxtaposing it against the different regions in the world and how all of that ties into, one, the emerging market situation for South Africa and also just South Africa's relationships with all of these countries. But in a global sense, what do you make of the renewed lockdowns around the world? Because as a country that tends to export to some of these countries, especially Europe, can think of motor vehicles, for example, all of these things. Is this perhaps another headwind? Because I think the SA economy has been through the most in 2020. Would you say that's perhaps another risk to just look out for on the horizon?
Yes, absolutely. The lockdowns are specifically prevalent in the moment amongst the countries within the European Union, and we've seen how that's actually impacting a lot on businesses. And a lot of those cities are actually doing pretty much what we did in the early part of 2020. But for us, for example, if we were to impose additional lockdowns in terms of our own business, that may harm us in a number of different ways. One of the biggest ways it's going to harm us is that we are still seeing global growth happening amongst the global markets. And we don't want to lose on that wave. And our businesses have already been constrained sufficiently enough to have had an impact on businesses. So we've seen businesses close down. We've seen households lose their forms of income. And many people who've lost their jobs are most likely not going to find a re-employment again in the near future, which puts huge pressure on our social security system, but also puts pressure on people who still do or are still fortunate enough to actually have work. So if we see this lockdown taking place in European Union, for example, right now, one of our big trade partners, we are not going to be exporting quite as much to those countries, and they're going to be buying less from us. And that has the overarching impact of actually negatively impacting on the rand. So we may see the rand actually weaken as a consequence. But over and above that, a weaker rand is also slow down because we're going to obviously see an increase in, again, exports because of the cheaper prices. So on the one side, the weaker rand may benefit us in terms of exports, but the weaker rand is also going to harm us in terms of the cost of production and cost of producing goods, because especially intermediary products, which we're bringing in from many of these countries, we cannot afford them. And that's going to impact on us in terms of inflation, a cost push inflation. It's going to result, obviously, in lower levels of economic growth for us and possibly impact us on unemployment and inequality at the same time.
You know, it just sounds like such a cocktail, you know, for disaster if things don't turn for the best in one way or another. But we'll just be, you know, holding out for the best, hoping that the best happens in the future. But now coming back, Prof, to, you know, the domestic side of things, ABSA recently brought out its PMI numbers from this week. What type of activity are we seeing in the manufacturing sector?
Okay, So technically speaking, we should actually see if the rest of the world is actually starting to grow. We should see more market activity coming about, hopefully in the future, but that depends a lot on the policies that we're experiencing in South Africa. So we're currently within South Africa, where we're seeing issues such as the stability of our currency. We're seeing problems in terms of unemployment. We've seen problems in terms of business support and obviously a lot of political pressure. And so that's going to have an impact in terms of manufacturing then into the future. Biggest challenge here is the problem of disinvestment. So we are hoping that if we can continue to maintain some form of investor confidence, that may actually sort of hold us at least into the future. But given the impact of Moody's downgrading last year and the beginning of this year already as well, that alone has brought a lot of investor sort of negative sentiment towards our country. So we're sitting in a very precarious position, because the way forward is going to depend a lot on international trade agreements. And again, that will also be impacted by the trade-off between the Democrats and the Republicans once again. A big issue that we're facing right now that will have an impact on investor confidence is the support from the US, for example, funding, aid, and obviously trade that comes into it. And we're going to see a change in the near future. If it's going to be Donald Trump, all three are going to affect us in a much bigger way, much more negatively, and that's going to affect the PMI index into the future. And if the Republicans come in, if the Democrats come into power, they are going to be a little bit more lenient. They will still have issues with China, but we will probably see a slightly more positive impact on our PMI into the future.
This US election is really the gift that keeps on giving. It really does sound like that, because there's so many implications. And I guess, for most people, we're sort of more entertained by the US election, not necessarily being aware of what impact it might or will potentially have on us on the ground. But you also brought up the issue of Moody's downgrading South Africa recently. And one of the things that did happen this week was that the ratings agency did give a bit of its take on the midterm budget speech, which was given out by Finance Minister Tito Mboweni last week. What do you make of the tone that Moody's has? Because it seems we always have to take it from that point of view. What type of tone have they struck just around? What are they saying about South Africa?
In my opinion, right now, I think I'm just a little more positive than what most people would go for. The reason for the positiveness is not because of South Africa's own internal policies or the way in which we've managed the COVID crisis and the way we have. And I think we should be proud of the way in which we've managed this crisis. But I think it's the really serious economic problems experienced in the rest of the world, which will actually shift favor towards the emerging economies. And we've seen it in the past that whenever huge financial economic problems have persisted globally, the emerging economies have become the safer place to invest. And when we've measured the impact of COVID, for example, against most of the financial markets, we could actually see that the emerging markets, and South Africa being one of those emerging markets, have actually had a, shall we say, it was a dampening effect to what other global countries were actually experiencing. So I think a lot of investors are moving their funds for safety into the emerging markets. Because and within the emerging markets, there's potential for more growth. So I think the tone is definitely more positive this time.
And as we are talking about tone, just to get your impressions of the speech last week, we had opportunity to talk to a couple of economists, but would be keen to maybe get your thoughts just around how that budget speech might have gone over.
My biggest challenge that I think we're facing in South Africa is our deficit is just way too high. Our debt to GDP ratio is very, very high. And it's going to the impact of government spending is going to have a remarkable impact on future generations. So it's not that we will be repaying this debt, it's that our children's children will be repaying the debt that we're created to try and get economy out of the trouble that it is. I will always be a keen supporter of Our finance minister, Thito Mboweni, has done an incredible job from when he was a reserve banker and the governor, and the impact he had on our reserve bank right through to now as a finance minister. I don't think he gets as much support from his own cabinet as he would need, but I do believe that his policies are as true as can be. And so I support Thito Mboweni's policies in a big way. But right now, the way we see in South Africa, we are in a very difficult place. We need to spend, we need to drive the economy, everything from investment in art and culture through to our expanded public works programs. This is where the money needs to go. And we need to, households are taking sufficient strain as it is. And most countries around the world cannot deal with the high levels of unemployment. And South Africa is going to become particularly stressed by this very big problem. If the unemployment levels continue to grow the way they do, it's going to obviously foster greater levels of inequality. And that is not good for either political or economic stability in the future.
And one group that was particularly affected by the lockdowns and COVID and, the downturn, more than any other group of people is those that are in the creative and arts sector. And I remember previously when we had you on that you said that was one of the sectors that you were, keeping an eye on. And in light of everything that's happened, we've got the election, more lockdowns, etc. Do you see the needle moving in any way on issues pertaining to that sector?
Yes, absolutely. The Minister of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture has mentioned on numerous occasions that South Africa needs to invest more heavily into arts and culture. And we find that many of the artists themselves are taking a lot of strain, especially now with the lockdown. And the more we open our economy up, the more these people have access to actually get back into the market. We have noticed the recent research has just shown us that the arts and cultural sector has actually grown, even though it's been through the heart of COVID. So of the growth, but not all the different sectors within the arts and cultural sector have grown evenly. So you'll find that, for example, theater and performances have, for example, been held back. Publishing has been definitely impacted. A lot of cultural sector businesses in traditional culture, businesses that involved with weaving, for example, knitting, have actually grown somewhat. And overall, if you were to outweigh the balances between the sectors of the cultural economy that has actually shrunk versus the sector that's actually grown, and we weigh it out, we can actually see that there's growth. And this is really important for the informal sector. A large number of artists are tied into the informal sector, and they're creating work opportunities for people in other sectors then too. So we rely on this arts and cultural sector, and it is definitely a growth hub in terms of innovation, and to support us through difficult times.
So there is some hope, coming from Peter Bau, a professor at the University of Johannesburg School of Economics around the arts sector. And he's just highlighting the fact that there has been some growth despite the contraction that has been seen on that end. And also talking about the need to invest in that particular sector because it does employ a lot of people and it does provide the type of value, that tends to touch, many people's lives. But above all else, we were talking a lot just around the US election, starting off just talking casually about what it might mean for South Africa. But as the discussion went on, you quickly realized that what's going on between Trump and Biden might have far-reaching consequences on us here in South Africa. And also just touching on the Purchasing Managers Index numbers that came out earlier this week, together with some of the issues around Moody's and its take around the budget speech from last week, and also what the rising cases and infections in parts of the world like Europe might mean for South Africa. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Prof. Bauer for joining us for another edition of the Business Day Spotlight.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Yet another fascinating discussion with an economic mind. It was good to talk to Prof. Bauer once again from UJ, and especially when you consider how wide-ranging the topics seem, but how connected everything is. It was, pretty cool. And now it has me thinking, just around how important this US election really is on the rest of the world, because people have been paying attention to this because, we all realize how important the United States is as an economy and as a quote-unquote superpower. But when you sort of hear the tapestry being woven about how, the election results will have an impact on trade policy, on currencies, and then, subsequently how that then leans into perceptions around emerging markets, of which South Africa is one of the more prominent ones. All of that then comes in, and then you get into the purchasing numbers and how all of that may be affected by lockdowns in the US. So this issue of globalization really does come to the fore when you're thinking about the US election. And whichever way it goes, it's definitely going to have an impact. I was talking to someone earlier on, and they were literally saying that they hope that it's the type of result that sees a weakening of the United States dollar, because that might help the rand to recover from the knock that it's taken because of COVID-19. And, it's a bit of a dark type of view to have, but it also just speaks to how, the economy is set up around the world, quite literally. One man's meat is another man's poison. But we just hope that at the end of the day that the world can advance in a way that is equitable for everyone, and that the economic structures, that we have going at the moment, because I think if there's anything that Donald Trump has really done over the last couple of years, it's to sort of challenge the status quo on how the global economy has traditionally worked. And it would be interesting to see how, after the election, if he does remain in power, how much unraveling can continue to happen. And in the same token, if Joe Biden is to take the presidential role in the United States, how would he go about, quote unquote, remedying the situation? Or would he perhaps continue and sort of let certain things go, some of the policy positions that have been taken by the current administration? So, and then on top of everything else, I think the US-China trade war that's been going on for a couple of years now, that would be the big one. And that has a big impact on South Africa's economy, and also the JSC. A lot of companies have exposure to China, and the United States is one of the big trading partners. So this was definitely one to see, and we'll just be hoping for the best. By the time we go out, we really hope that this counting, because that's the other part about this election that's been quite fascinating, is how long it's actually taking for them to actually declare a winner. We hope for the best, and we just hope for the best in the South African economy. So thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest episodes on a Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashimaete. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.